This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, April 1st, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the box office numbers from this past weekend. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office expert, Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan, let's get into it. Tell me how Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire performed in theaters this past weekend.
Yeah, we'll do. And I'm not sure for everyone that has been curious this whole time. It has finally been confirmed, or it was at the end of last week, that the X in that title is just silent. So it should be read Godzilla Kong, I guess, is the
nonsense, Ryan. Nonsense is what I say to that.
I kind of agree. I think the original title floating around was just going to be Godzilla and Kong, and I almost think that might have been better, but whatever the case. Godzilla Kong, The New Empire opened to $80 million domestically. And I believe a couple of weeks ago, you and I talked about this movie's prospects, and it had been tracking for somewhere around, even on the most optimistic side that I'd seen, was $55 million.
So I was going to say, I remember you saying something about 50. Yeah.
This thing absolutely obliterated tracking. Now, I will say I was bullish on it. I felt like that tracking was low. But I was thinking like 60, maybe 65. Like so for it to blow by expectations this much is significant. It doesn't happen that often. We see movies clear tracking a lot, but you know, there every once in a while something comes in and just, you know, Deadpool, Suicide Squad, it, like some of these movies that just really blow by everybody. And so it did so overseas well, pulling in $114 million, giving it a $194 million worldwide opening. Just good stuff right there. You know, the fifth movie in this franchise, about 10 years after it kicked off. You know, the MonsterVerse has been playing the slow and steady game. One movie every couple of years, one TV show so far, not overextending itself. And as we can see, audiences are still eating it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a headline on Deadline, I think it was, that was like, Godzilla Kong revives legendary MonsterVerse with its opening or something. I was like, revives? I'm pretty sure Godzilla versus Kong, the previous movie, did pretty well. I don't know if it needed revival, but
yeah, I think that there's some argument to be made there because Godzilla versus Kong, you know, came out under pandemic circumstances. It opened to like $32 million, which was great for then. Made $468 million worldwide, but you know, that was a lot lower than like Skull Island and the first Godzilla. And it also made a gargantuan amount of its money in China, which without that money, the movie probably would have been kind of a disaster. And, you know, there's a lot to be said there. But yeah, I don't think revives is the right word. Now, if you
maybe they're thinking like the success of this movie sort of proves that the previous one wasn't like a blip or something. And like maybe now it's like, you know, more in full steam kind of thing. So anyway.
Yeah, because I think you could look at like Godzilla King of the Monsters from 2019, which only made $383 million worldwide. You know, and then you're looking at like, are we in trouble here? But clearly that was the exception. Like the other four movies in this franchise have done very well.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about Godzilla Kong. Begrudgingly, I'll drop the X for the sake of this conversation in just a minute. But tell me about the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the other Empire movie that we discussed recently, and how that movie performed head-to-head versus Godzilla Kong.
Well, we talked about this, and I think I sort of set this up last week, so let's not be too surprised here. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire had a big fall. Dropped 65%, made $15.7 million on its second weekend here domestically. That's a big drop, no two ways about it. So it's at $73.4 million domestic and $35.1 million international, $108.5 million worldwide. You know, yeah, it's not great. That's definitely not what you want to see. But at the same time, I think as we talked about, the next few weeks, there's not as much direct competition in that area. So I still think beyond this big drop, if the movie can avoid like another huge drop, it can still maybe, you know, hold on and get to around that Ghostbusters Afterlife level of gross. But, you know, that's still going to be, it's still not great for a movie with a $100 million budget. But, you know, I'm sure Sony's not thrilled, but, you know, we'll
see. So you're not ready to write this one off then quite yet?
Not totally. Just because I expected this to happen. It's a matter of what happens in the coming weeks when you have movies like Abigail and movies that are not quite as directly going for this audience. You know, okay, fine, it dropped 65% this week. Does it maybe only drop 38% next weekend? You know, and sort of like, can it hold on a little bit? And that's, so maybe, depending on what happens next weekend is where I might start to worry a little bit. And again, this is a franchise where you're going to sell a lot of VOD movies. You're going to sell a lot of Blu-rays. You're going to sell a lot of merchandise. Like there's more to make up here. Same for the MonsterVerse, for that matter. You're going to have a lot of merchandise tied into that. So that does account for something.
Okay, so I think right now you're in the process of writing an article called Five Reasons Godzilla Kong Obliterated the Box Office. Tell me, I guess, maybe just like pick two of those reasons, and then we'll try to link to that article in the show notes if this podcast goes up at the right time of day and that kind of thing. But yeah, don't spoil the whole thing for me, Ryan, but just give me like a glimpse at the concept behind that article.
For sure. So I think one of the biggest things, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Dune Part 2 as well. People were able to catch up with the first Dune, be it on HBO Max when the first one was in theaters, be it on Netflix over the years, be it DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. Like, there has been an ample time to catch up with this movie, and a lot of people caught up with Godzilla vs. Kong. And more to the point, very much like the first Dune, an absolute crowd pleaser. People really liked it. So that has motivated people very evidently to come out in droves to make sure they see this one on the big screen. And now, again, credit to Warner Brothers and Legendary for marketing a movie that seemed like a fun follow-up, but it was very evident to me that that was the, you know, that was the sell here. That was the big thing, is that there was clearly a percentage of the audience that watched Godzilla vs. Kong at home and thought that would have been better on a big screen. And again, that's not, you know, that to me is one of the most encouraging things you can see at a time when we're talking about a lot of people haven't yet come back to theaters since 2020. So I think that's
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so I guess what else did you want to talk about in terms of Godzilla Kong and sort of how that movie is performing and maybe like what the future of the MonsterVerse looks like and all that?
Well, I would say the other big thing is that, again, not to make the Dune comparisons, not to exhaust them here, but Godzilla Kong, did gigantic numbers on premium format screens. 48% of its ticket sales from premium format. So not just IMAX, talking Dolby Cinema, Cinemark XD, these premium formats that have sprung up. Again, 48% of the ticket sales. So again, you're seeing people, maybe less people are going to the theater, but the people that are going and are motivated, they are paying the money. They are happy to do it. So, you know, I thought that number jumped out at me. That's a large number. You know, and you also had popcorn buckets and cups and things like that that people bought. So I, you know, a lot of revenue going through those theaters this weekend.
Oh yeah, 100%. I wonder if, because I have AMC A-List, I don't really pay close attention to this, but I wonder if you know the answer off the top of your head. If people have to pay a little bit extra for, I know they have to pay extra for, you know, IMAX kind of thing, but yeah, if you have to pay a little bit extra for a Dolby or for you know, some other version of that sort of, what is it called? The PLF, like premium large format, I think is
premium
the acronym.
Premium large format, yes.
Yeah. So like, do you know if every single one of those, everything that falls under the PLF umbrella, if all of those require an upcharge?
Yeah. Yeah. So like if I go see something in Cinemark XD, I'm paying a premium for that ticket. And I will say this just as a general broad moviegoer thing. A lot of people complain about AMC. I tend to think Cinemark does very well keeping the theaters up. And I think if you can't get an IMAX screening, the experiences I've had at Cinemark XD have been very good. So if moviegoers are ever sort of looking for an alternative, just one man's opinion, I think Cinemark XD is pretty good. Okay. And similarly, out here, there's an Alamo Drafthouse that recently got upgraded, and one of the theaters is a Dolby Cinema theater now, and you will pay a small upcharge for that. So yes, generally, that is a more expensive ticket.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see. Where do I go from here? Let me...
Monsterverse. Sorry, extended Monsterverse. I would say Adam Wingard has talked about wanting to do a third movie. Director Adam Wingard is very busy with a couple of other things, but I would say he is probably fielding calls from Warner Brothers and Legendary today about coming back for a third one. I would guess they're going to try to get him back to finish out whatever his trilogy would be. So if I'm to guess at what the future of the Monsterverse is, he's going to get to make a third one.
Yeah, I listened to, I think it was the IndieWire Craft podcast or Toolkit podcast or something like that, an interview with Adam Wingard over the weekend, and he basically said like he definitely wants to come back, but it's just a matter of whether or not the movie performs well enough and like what Legendary's plan is for like how quickly they would want to greenlight another one and get another one in theaters, because he mentioned maybe wanting to make another movie in between there, something smaller or something like that. But I think it really depends on, you know, if Legendary is like, okay, this is, movie has outperformed expectations. We got to keep Godzilla and Kong, you know, top of mind for audiences. So let's, you know, put the pedal to the metal on another movie very quickly. Then I think it sounds like he would be interested in doing that. He's probably, I hope for his sake, wisely waiting on the performance of the movie to like renegotiate his contract to come back and make a little bit more money to do a third movie or whatever. So, anyway, long way of saying that it seems like we're probably going to get another Adam Wingard directed Godzilla and Kong movie. And he also mentioned that, he also mentioned that this movie, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, focused pretty heavily on Kong, and he wants the next one to focus a little bit more on Godzilla. So that might be interesting for people who are big Godzilla fans and feel like he's maybe playing second fiddle in these movies.
For sure. But I also think it's important, like he's got a Thundercats movie, I believe it is. And then he's also got the Face Off sequel, and they've been talking about maybe doing a sequel to The Guest. So like the dude is busy. So I don't know. Does like Legendary just park the money truck up and say, do this now, please? Or like, are they willing to wait 3 years? Like, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that part of it goes, but we'll see.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's take a break and we will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get into the rest of the box office. What else do you think, sort of top line takeaways, what other like big stories do we need to talk about, Ryan?
Well, just one last quick Monsterverse mention, and we don't even really need to talk about this, but the opening weekend of Godzilla Kong pushed the overall franchise to over $2 billion worldwide. So it's now at $2.1 billion worldwide with an average budget of around a little under $200 million, something like $167, I think. Is the average budget for these movies now. So good rate of return. I would not be surprised if another movie is announced here shortly. So good for them.
Cool.
And then I would say, not to be lost in the conversation here is that Dune Part 2 is still rolling right along. Made $11.1 million domestically in its fifth weekend, dropped only 37%. And it is now past $600 million worldwide, well past that, actually. It's $626 million worldwide. So Chalamet now has his last two movies that are both well over $600 million worldwide. This one is probably going to get closer to $700 than it is to $600 by the end of it, which is just incredible for this kind of movie. So again, very good news here. Warner Brothers doing the heavy lifting this year so far.
That's awesome. Okay, so on the opposite end of the spectrum, Madam Web is hilariously short of a box office milestone, adding insult to injury, is an article that you're writing for the site right now. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, so look, I can't guarantee you that it's not going to make another dime, but it has been out of U.S. theaters for some time, and it seems to have wound down, you know, elsewhere. I can't say that it's playing nowhere, but Madam Web is at $99,266,000. So it is like less than $1 million short of at least crossing $100 million worldwide. And so, you know, it's like, it's not that that would save it or anything, but it would at least sound better. Like the movie made $100 million and it's just going to fall just short of at least even getting to the nine figure range there. So, bit of a just cruel joke there, left on Sony for delivering that movie. So,
That's like we'll so see. Close that you almost imagine that like some executive is like, I don't care how many theaters it has to play in, just like get it out there for like a little bit longer just so we can cross this threshold and then pull it and, you know, we'll wait for VOD or whatever after that.
Yeah, I also wonder, it's such a low amount that I can't imagine it's the case, but, you know, there are often like box office incentives and things like that that will kick in at various milestone.
Oh, so maybe it's better for the studio for it to not cross 100 million.
Now again, I'm not saying, because 100 million is a pretty, it's usually a much higher threshold because, you know, the movie needs to make money first, but it would be interesting if there were some $100 million incentives that kick in and they're just like, nope, this thing's never touching a movie theater again. Anyway, so just, you know, before we never talk about Madam Web again, just sort of, you know, throwing that out there that it looks like it's going to just barely not make that.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, like to your point, I remember reading that, that Christopher Nolan stands to make a little bit more money if and when Oppenheimer actually crosses that $1 billion threshold. So that's what, you know, one of those things you're talking about in terms of like the bar being set much, much higher than 100 million. So, yeah. Okay. So I guess give me like a clear rundown of the box office top 10. We actually had somebody email in and ask for us to sort of like go over that in order every week. So I think that would be a smart thing for us to do on these box office episodes, Ryan. So why don't you run through the top 10 of the U.S. box office for me?
Sure thing, guys. So just top 10, top to bottom here. Number one, of course, Godzilla Kong, the New Empire with $80 million. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire at the number two spot, which was your former champion from last week with $15.7 million. Dune Part 2 coming in at number three with $11.1 million. Kung Fu Panda 4 dropping just one spot to number four with a $10.2 million haul this weekend. That movie doing quite well, about $350 million worldwide. Sydney Sweeney's Immaculate dropping just 39% with a $3.2 million haul this weekend. Mark Wahlberg's Arthur the King hanging in there at number six with $2.4 million. Last week's much buzzed about horror film from IFC, Late Night with the Devil, coming in at number seven, holding the number seven spot with $2.2 million, dropping just 22% from last weekend. So buzz keeping that one alive. And then a movie I had not heard of until this weekend called Tilu Square made $1.8 million on just 450 screens, so did very well. Movie called Crew, $1.5 million at the number nine spot. And rounding out the top 10 is Blumhouse's Imaginary with $1.4 million.
Okay, so those eight and nine ones, I've never heard of those either. Are those like sometimes movies from India can sort of like slip in and get those American releases that actually do pretty well? Are those Indian films?
I believe Tilu Square is, yes, that's what it looks like. And again, that did very well on those 450 screens. And Crew also looks to be one of those Indian imports, both from a distributor called Friday Entertainment, which I have not heard of, but... both on less than 500 screens. So Tilu Square had a $4,100 per screen average, whereas Crew is about $3,000. So we've talked about this before, but that per screen average is almost the more important metric when we're going to talk about getting to a healthier theatrical marketplace, because the theaters that were showing those movies benefited very much by having those on those screens. Mm-hmm. Whereas something like Arthur the King, yes, it made more money, but it only made $950 per screen. So, you know, just some context there.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. I'm really just like, it makes my heart happy to hear that like international films are performing so well in the US. I feel like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, that kind of thing where movies like that would regularly sneak into the top 10 just kind of seems unheard of. Like, yes, you would have something like, I don't know, Crashing Tiger, Hidden Dragon, for example,
yeah,
might become, you know, a crossover hit and like a big deal on in the box office and like draw a lot of attention from, I guess, typical American moviegoers or whatever. But just the fact that Indian films like this and some other international films over the past year or so have really like made their presence known in a big way. That's really, I don't know, it's just, that's very cool.
It is very cool. And it also, again, like there's a point where Hollywood's just making less movies now. And so you need something to fill that void. And we've talked a lot about this, but between like anime imports like this, concert films, unique stuff, you know, enough of these, what let's call them singles to use a sports metaphor, add up to sort of make up for some of that lost ground. And, you know, it's very cool that these movies still keep getting shots and that they keep, you know, the people keep showing up. So I do think that's awesome.
Okay, let's look ahead as we prepare to wrap up here to what's coming out this weekend, or this week, I guess, this Thursday, Friday, which is The First Omen and Monkey Man. What do you think in terms of like the prospects of these movies?
Yeah, so we talk about this quite a bit. I'm not the best prognosticator in the world, but, you know, let's go ahead and look at what the numbers are telling us. So right now, the folks at Box Office Pro have The First Omen opening in the $8 to $13 million range, whereas Monkey Man is looking to open anywhere between $13 and $21 million. I've also seen numbers a touch higher for Monkey Man, depending. So let's look at what we know. First Omen, the budget has not been revealed, but 20th Century Studios has kept the budgets pretty reasonable for these. So like you look at something like The Boogeyman last year with a $35 million budget, perhaps less, like No One Will Save You was like a $22.5 million budget. So I would guess First Omen is in that range, in which case an opening of $10 million or more puts you in good shape. And while full reviews haven't dropped yet, the early buzz from those screenings has been really good. So for what it's worth, The Omen historically has actually been a very reliable franchise. Even the remake back in 2006 made over $100 million worldwide. So, I do think that that's a good number for that movie, even if it'll open around, you know, probably three on the charts.
Okay.
And then, Monkey Man, which I've seen, I got to see it, South by Southwest. Netflix originally paid $30 million for the package and then Universal bought it from Netflix. So I do not know what Universal paid, but my guess is it was one of those deals where Universal pretty much just bought Netflix out of it. So Netflix probably made a little something, but not like a lot. So, you know, you got to figure the less than $40 million investment there. And so let's say it opens to 20, give or take, it will not top Godzilla Kong next weekend, but that is a good start. And I firmly believe this is going to be a crowd pleaser. It is a bit, it's not like quite as, you know, like ironclad as that first John Wick was, but the numbers are very much in line with what that first John Wick did. So if it can do John Wick numbers, I would think that the Universal would probably be happy with the investment. So, you know, it's looking good. It could probably, if it does open to around 20, word of mouth is good, does well overseas, could probably get to $100 million worldwide, which, you know, again, that's a much longer tail on this thing. But I think that would be, for one, it would help. It would be a nice boost because this movie was not expected to come to theaters this year. And it would be great for Dev Patel, another win for Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw. Like, it would be a lot of good things all wrapped up in one if that does come to bear. So looking good.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Monkey Man. Honestly, I saw the trailer for The First Omen, that first trailer for it, and I was kind of like, I don't know. I think I'm probably out on this. But that early buzz that you mentioned for this movie has been so strong that now I'm like, man, maybe I actually do want to see this. I've heard it's just really wild. So
I had the same thought. I just was not that interested in it. I love the original Omen is one of my favorite horror movies. It's so good, but I just really couldn't bring myself to care. But yeah. The buzz coming out of the, I mean, I'm talking like, if you can go find some tweets or whatever, we're talking effusive buzz. Like, people are really like, this is really good. And look, you should know better. Anytime Bill Nye's in a movie, come on. Not Bill Nye, the science guy, but the British actor, Bill Nye. It's called N-I-G-H-Y. Any jokes aside, one of my favorite living actors. So he's in it. I should have known better.
Okay, lastly, before we wrap up here, I just wanted to end with a quick listener email. Alec, I'm not sure where Alec is from, but he wrote in, or they wrote in, I'm not sure the identity there. Alec wrote in, "I was listening to you and Ryan on the podcast talking about disk media rot and just wanted to share with the class that there is a good computer program for taking a DVD or Blu-ray and creating a copy of the contents on your computer. You can transfer all of the properties of the movie, including subtitles, etc. The application is called Handbrake," one word, Handbrake. "Computer files are infinitely duplicatable, so you can put as many copies of the same movie on as many hard drives as your heart desires. Obviously, this program could be abused and used for pirating movies. Don't use it for that. But as long as you're only creating digital copies of movies that you bought and paid for and only for personal use, everything is kosher." So I just wanted to share that because it's a nice, like, I guess, hopeful capper on the conversation that we were having about physical media versus digital, and then that conversation continued over into talking about disc rot and sort of left on a little bit of a downer note of like, well, everything is gonna, you know, degrade over time eventually, and there's not really much you can do about it except for maybe try to make some copies on your computer. And we didn't really offer any clear path for how people can do that, so Alec is filling in the gap for us there. So I'm gonna put a link to this Handbrake application in the show notes for this episode, so people can check that out if they want to. There's also like a Wikipedia page for it if you want to like look at that before you just go straight to the site. You know, sometimes those like video encoder sites are like a little shady, and I've never used Handbrake myself, but I looked at it this morning and it seems legit. So I don't know if you have, do you have like any sort of go-to programs that you use for any of that stuff, Ryan, or are you not really worried as much about making copies of the physical stuff that you own?
So I'm actually in the process. I actually may or may not have just downloaded Handbrake as we speak. But so I'm big on that with my music. So I have like over 1,000 CDs and I have digital copies of all of those. And I use those for various things. And again, preservation being one of them, but functionality being another. And so I'm actually now, very recently, I've been like, all right, do I want to start doing this with my movies as well? And I've been looking for a program and researching ways to do that. And again, not for piracy's sake, just for my own, like, you know, this is I paid for this. I would like to ensure that I have a copy of it somewhere. And yeah, it looks like a Handbrake might be a good solution for that. So I am very much going to look into that personally.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks to Alec for that email. And yeah, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. You can find much more about the stories that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com. I will link to a bunch of them in the show notes if I can. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.